Interview with Gunawardene, Leslie, 26th of April, 1967.
If I may ask something from the sociological background viewpoint, was your education in Pandora or in Colombo?
Well, I was in the St. John's Girls School in Pandora, about the age of 8 or 9. Then I entered St. Thomas's College, Mount Lavinia, to travel up daily. I was there till I was 16.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately you went to London?
No, after that I was 2 years in public school in England, mm-hmm. or rather in Wales, not Wales. A mm-hmm. couple of years. After that I was in London.
Is it correct to say that the idea of forming a Marxist party here was conceived in London?
But it is true that it was a group of people, students who met in London, who were the precursors of the movement that later developed into the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm. Is it out of place to ask who they were?
Well, yes, there was a group. Dr. M. Pereira was there, Mr. Philip Nolan was there, he was there, Colvin was there, mm-hmm. and some others who are today out of politics whose names I not wish to mention.
Mm-hmm. Is it correct to say that some of you joined had associations with the Communist Party there, but you were already trot inclined and some of you were even expelled from the Communist groups there?
No,
that's not correct. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to find out whether you were, even at that stage, definitely Trotsky...
Well, the only person who was aware of the difference and did also make an effort to maintain relations with the Trotskyists was Philip Nord. In fact, he was the first person who had some kind of leaning in that direction at the start.
Mm-hmm. So, that Trotskyism crystallized really in the field in Ceylon in later years. I asked the question about your background because, it is pretty evident that it was a westernized urban background. And I was wondering how far that bore on party politics and thinking in later years. For instance, the question of establishing a rapport or a base among the peasantry.
Mm. Yes, well, I think that's up to you to draw your conclusions. Eh? Mm-hmm. I can supply you with the facts. Mm-hmm. You ask me any questions about things that happened, I'll be able to answer you.
But, for instance, didn't your Panadura background give you an inkling of what the thinking was in rural areas?
No.
But then, say, in...
Because Panadura background I had in my school days. In my school days, I was certainly not interested in politics. Mm-hmm. My interest in politics commenced only after I went abroad.
But what about your family connections? Didn't many have rural roots?
And my mother's side, perhaps, but not on my father's side.
Mm-hmm. And is it correct to say that even before the official formation of the LSSP in 35, you were acting as a sort of inner group?
Yes, from 1933, mm-hmm. certainly.
And which field did you choose to concentrate on then?
The working class.
Mm-hmm. Through the Surya Mal campaign or youth leagues or trade unions?
Trade unions. Mm-hmm. And we ran a paper called the Kamkalwa, mm-hmm. weekly paper.
In Singhal?
In Singhal.
And how much emphasis did you place on the rural, on the Suryamal movement?
Well, we placed a lot of emphasis, political emphasis, because the anti-imperialist character of that movement.
Mm-hmm. Would it be correct to say that you were seeking to use the anti-imperial movement and the national consciousness of the time to further some Samajist aims and to bring in a Marxist oriented?
I don't know. The national consciousness at that time was very low.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our business was rather to create that national or anti-imperialist feeling. That was our effort in the Suryana movement.
Mm-hmm. With what?
To create that feeling.
What success?
Success was not very great.
Mm-hmm.
Success was not great.
And how about the trade union field itself?
Mm-hmm.
Is it correct to say that you challenged Gunasinghe?
Yes.
Weren't there other avenues within Colombo, other avenues to explore in the trade union field rather than confronting Gunasinghe's trade unions themselves?
Well, there are two things. One is that the workers were conscious of the need for trade union organization generally tended to go to Gunasinghe.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, that Mr. Gunasinghe himself considered the working classes reserved and resented anybody even trying to organize unorganized workers. And when we organized unorganized workers, the employers very often went to Gunasinghe in order to get his support against us.
And at this stage at least, in contrast to the 1920s, wasn't he tending to make deals with the employers and at the expense sometimes of his union?
He generally was. You want to meet me? Can't leave this morning. I have given an appointment, rather a long appointment.
Whatever?
I will say, today will not be very convenient. Can't he manage tomorrow? No, I'll look up my diary. I was away in Orally and only got back last night.
What success did you have in your struggle with Gunasinghe?
Well, we clashed on several occasions, and certainly we, in the first few clashes, we always came off second best.
What about the Velvatha Mills?
Well, Velvatha Mills, of course, was earlier. It was before 33, before I came to Ceylon.
Mm-hmm.
The strike was in 32. I wasn't here, but NM wasn't here either. Colvin and Philip were there at the time.
Mm.
And then, of course, they got the better Gunasinghe then. But 33 onwards, we got the worst of the thing. And but round about 38 or 39, we found to some extent the tide began to turn.
What hindered you in the 33-35 period?
Not 33-37 period.
Yes.
Well, it's a fact of the workers themselves. Although they were prepared to accept our help, the moment that Gunasinghe came on the scene and attacked us, they deserted us and went back to Gunasinghe.
Is it true that he used the anti-Malayali cry on occasion?
Well, so from 1931 he'd been using it. That's from the time of the economic depression.
But in doing so, wasn't he cutting off a quantum of his own support, because some of the labor was Indian?
Yes, I dare say that happened.
Mm-hmm. I should have thought that organizationally, anyway in time, the Sama Samajis were much better off than his one-man party.
Yes, but tide was, as I said, beginning to turn even in the trade union field around about 38, 39.
Did you succeed in capturing the harbor too later on?
Mm. No, not till after the war. Not till during and after the war.
Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Well, the workers were still behind Gunasinghe.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them are not really organized. They're still broadly accepted in leadership and wouldn't listen to anybody else.
It's noticeable that for a short period in 36, Gunasinghe and the LSSP leaders appeared on the same platform at the May Day election, May Day rally. And
there was a kind of united front for a short period, that is true. We marched in the same May Day procession, but we did not appear on the same platform.
Mm-hmm. United front in what sense?
United front in the sense of mutual cooperation in certain fields. Now, the May Day demonstration, we marched together. But his section marched off to his meeting, while our section marched off to ours.
Mm-hmm. Right, what was the understanding and why was there cooperation fight?
But Guna Singh probably felt that he, by cooperating with us, he might prevent the clashing with him in Colombo. And they might perhaps persuade us to give up working with working class and go and work only among the peasants.
Then would it be correct to say that it was a very uneasy cooperation and didn't last long?
No, didn't last long at all.
But what advantage had you in cooperating with him?
That he was the acknowledged labor leader.
Mm-hmm.
And if the acknowledged labor leader was prepared to cooperate with us, as elements who are also interested in labor organization, well, that tended to set a strife among certain sections of the workers.
How much emphasis did you all place on the youth league movement?
But in the early period, we placed quite a bit of emphasis before the party started. But after the party came into existence, our energies were devoted more to the building of the party itself.
Were there youth leagues in the provinces or in the rural areas?
You see, the youth leagues existed really in connection with the Suryamal movement, and to a very large extent they confined their activities to having the Suryamal, running the Suryamal movement once a year.
What was the composition of the youth leagues in the provinces? What strata?
There weren't any youth leagues worth mentioning. Youth leagues were really in towns and in Colombo and in the small towns.
And in the small towns?
And in the small towns.
What sort of people joined it?
Students.
English speaking then?
Generally English speaking. Minority, single speaking.
That's very interesting.
That's at the beginning. Then, as I said, the youth leagues didn't develop, it was the party that developed after that.
If it's not out of place, I presume you had a problem with regard to funds. And since you had no outside connections, how did you manage to finance this?
Well, we didn't, that's all.
Mostly private expenditure.
Yeah.
And what about the structural basis? How did you conceive the party? I mean, how did you organize it?
Well, the party organized in 1935-36 was just a broad mass party with nominal yearly subscription. And that was all. It was a very loose kind of formation.
How much emphasis did you place on the annual congress or conference?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a policy-forming body?
I don't think so, because the policy formation was done by really very, very small number of leaders.
Central committee?
Even smaller than central committee.
Mm-hmm.
Very small number of leaders.
So in this sense, the structure was not democratic. I mean, I'm not saying that it should be, but as a, in a descriptive way?
It was not democratic, you say, only in this sense that people did not make use of their democratic rights.
Mm-hmm.
They were not in a position yet to make use of their democratic rights.
Mm.
It's not that their democratic rights were denied them, but they were politically so backward, they were not in a position to suggest any alternative to what the leader suggested.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, would it be correct to say that the organization was somewhat too loose, in the sense that you had all kinds of fellow travelers whose affiliations were not very strong?
Yes, the organization was certainly too loose. It was an ineffective organization.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly ineffective for the purposes of any kind of struggle.
But on the other hand, the organization proved quite capable in the war years, and the way they handled the way the secret group functioned seems to be...
That was not the party organization that did that. It was the secret organization that functioned in the war years. The party organization just collapsed.
Because of government repression?
Well, most of them disappeared. I mean, we couldn't find them. But the secret organization continued. And probably got hold of some of the old elements and numbers of new elements.
And how much emphasis was placed on winning the support of the peasantry before the war?
It is true that before the war, certainly, we and even after, even the first years after the war, we had more support among the rural areas than we did later on. That is true. But that is not due merely to the fact of the amount of emphasis that is placed. It is due to the objective situation where the direct rule of imperialism in Ceylon created a situation which disappeared after 47, 48 really.
Mm-hmm. Didn't your emphasis include the agitation against the feudal system and the headman system?
Yes, it did.
And did that bring you support?
Yes, it did.
But also, isn't it correct to say that the agitation against the headman system was not merely LSSCP, but also raised by other elements who were not left? Examples, possibly even Bandaranaike, but RSS Gunawardena and Gunasinghe and George.
Yes, Gunasinghe certainly, but he confined his activities to the towns. And there would have been other elements, but nobody who was carrying on an open agitation as we were doing.
Mm-hmm. So would it be correct to say that the people associated the anti-feudal cry with the LSSP?
Yes.
Looking back, don't...
That's the only organized party that raised that matter.
Don't you think that this cry was only effective to a limited extent, in that it exhausted itself soon, especially after independence?
Well, to some extent, it was partially exhausted even before independence, because in 1938-39, the headman system was abolished to the extent of getting rid of the Ratemathnas, the Mudliyas, and the intermediate stratum Vidhanarchis. They were all abolished before the war.
Mm-hmm.
Only just the minor headman remained.
And insofar as you attempted to win the allegiance of the peasantry, don't you think that one problem was presented by D.S. Sennaika's agrarian policies and his ability to win peasant support?
I don't think that there was positive winning of support by the SMI. I think it is the lack of consciousness and lethargy of the peasantry that continued that made the situation continue where the peasants supported the upper classes in their village and in the political field generally.
Mm-hmm. Continuing this theme about the peasant, don't you think you, in a sense, missed the bus on the language issue because of your Marxist principles?
Because of our principles, yes, I should think, yes.
Whereas Bandaranaike was far more opportunistic and utilized the desires of the...
Yes, in this sense, Mr. Bandaranaike was not so concerned about questions of principle. He approached things much more pragmatically.
But also, weren't you placed in a dilemma in this situation? Because one of your fronts was an urban proletariat. Urban and, to some extent, plantation proletariat. And both on principle and on the basis of your support, it was difficult for you to raise any communal cry without eliminating these sections.
The fact of the matter is, we never had much support on the plantation, Indian plantation workers. We never had.
Why was that?
I think partially it was this question of the discrimination against plantation workers, which led them into their own communal organization, except their own communal leadership.
So here again you see communalism being more important than Marxism and the urban workers togetherness.
It has been. Mm-hmm. If it had not been so, I think we probably have socialism in Ceylon. Mm-hmm. The plantation workers follow the communalists. You can still follow communalists.
Don't you think this was, largely due to the situation itself, also furthered by the advice given by Nehru in 39-40? He formed the CIC, didn't he?
It really helped the formation of communal organizations.
This somehow doesn't square with his so-called socialism.
Well, I don't know. I suppose he came here and saw Indians who were in difficulties and advised them to get together. Mm-hmm. And of course, from his point of view, there's nothing wrong.
Now, somewhere around 39-40, didn't you try and get Anthony Finlay to form unions among the state workers?
No. Not Anthony Finlay, but our party was. Mm-hmm. Among the plantation workers in 1939-40, and he led very militant struggles of the plantation workers till 1940, when our party was repressed by the government.
Was that with a view to hindering the war effort or to the formation of trade unions among the estates?
Formation of trade unions and the political development of those workers.
Mm-hmm. And also representing genuine grievances.
Well, don't put words in my mouth, because that's not the way I'd express it. Mm-hmm. We are expressing it. It's certainly teaching the, helping develop the consciousness, both trade union and political, mm-hmm. of the plantation workers.
With what success in those years?
Well, I think the struggles were very successful in the sense that they rose to a very big height, mm-hmm. especially in Goa.
Was that because Jack Kotalawala had a base there?
No.
Why particularly in Uwa and not in other areas?
Well, the struggle started in the Kandy district. Mm-hmm. And it did not develop high except in the Mulwaya strike, when there was shooting and killing of a worker called Govindan. Mm-hmm. Then the struggle was under leadership of the Congress. Then struggle developed further down towards Norelia, Talukale and so on. And it was the latter period that it developed in Uwa. And by the time it came to Uwa, the very militancy of the workers had given leadership to the Lanka Samajwadi. The earlier struggles were not under the leadership of the Lanka Samajwadi, except for Mulwaya. They were under the leadership of the Congress. Mm-hmm. But by the time the struggle spread across the central province into Uwa, the LSSP was in leadership.
Then, apropos of your earlier remark, you seem to have lost this support which you gained in 1941.
We were unable to consolidate it because the party was underground for 5 years.
In fact, I meant to ask that question, both in the Manda plantations and in Colombo. Didn't the fact that you opposed the war effort and had to go in underground, effective, yes.
In Colombo, no, because we had the cadres, mm-hmm. to continue the work underground among the workers. In the plantations, yes, because we had no cadres. There are perhaps a few individuals who have been thrown up in the struggles themselves, but we had no cadres in the plantations.
I presume the strength of the CIC was that they had Indian Tamil leaders.
Yes, that's about the principal reason. And the second reason is the one you just mentioned, that we were illegalized in the war years without a cadre in the plantation.
But didn't the Communist Party capture some of your unions here?
No, I don't think they captured any of our unions, but they built new unions in the war, during the war period.
Which you had to contend with after?
What do you mean contend with?
Well, in the heart.
Sometimes you competed with them, sometimes you cooperated with them. Mm-hmm. But I mean.
Well, what I meant is competed with them on occasion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, tactically speaking, do you think it was a mistake to go into a position in the warriors?
No, certainly.
Did you gain from it?
Oh, yes. Terrifically.
In what way?
We turned out to be the only at the imperialist party in Ceylon, and that is proved in action.
Mm-hmm.
The only party that is prepared to struggle for the national freedom of the country.
And that gained you support in?
Very big support.
45, 46.
Mm-hmm. Gained the support during the war, mm-hmm. which manifested itself after the war.
And don't you think the warriors were also useful in that they were kind of crucible which deepened the Marxism of some of the less involved members.
Kamil. With the advent of the war, and in fact, shortly, with the advent of the war, yes, and even before the repression, the party altered its character, both organizationally and politically. Politically, it advanced to a more clear Marxist program. Organizationally, it developed a secret organization within it which was able to meet with any situation,
mm-hmm.
as well as insisted on membership being confined to those who were also active.
Mm-hmm. A few questions on the 1930s. Apart from yourself, who were the chief writers in the party?
I don't think I wrote very much myself. The editor of the paper was Mr. B.J. Sanatan. Mm-hmm. Mm. All we used to write. Mm. But there wasn't very much writing done in those days.
Is it correct to say that at that stage, you and Philip were the leaders of the party?
I don't think... No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been... Told, I
think the Philip took the preeminent position in the party,
and
being the eldest and the most experienced person in politics.
Because I was, N.M. Pereira is now known to be one of the leaders, but isn't it correct to say that he didn't really emerge as the frontline leaders till the 1950s?
1940s.
Mm-hmm. With the strikes.
After the war.
Mm-hmm.
But in the pre-war period, insofar as there is one person standing out more than the others, it would have been Philip.
Mm-hmm. And how much emphasis did you place on study groups in that period?
Well, some effort was made to start study groups. I in fact remember taking some myself. But there wasn't very much scope for them. Because the general political level was very low.
Mm-hmm. How about after the war?
After the war, of course, the situation is quite different. Quite different.
Hasn't language presented a problem as to, say, the liaison and the connections between the leaders and the workers?
I don't think the relations between leaders and workers has been affected by the problem of language. But certainly the problem of language did present, the question of language did present problems because the literature available in Sinhalese is so limited.
Mm-hmm.
Political literature.
Did you all attempt to translate or originate literature in the...
We have done a certain amount of translation.
That's in more recent years,
no, right? Even before the war. Mm-hmm. The Communist Manifesto was translated, published, I think in 1940.
A criticism made of the LSSP sometimes by some themselves is that the Central Committee has very few workers' representatives. Mm. In contrast,
we don't have workers' representatives.
Workers.
Mm. Well, the Central Committee, we have 44 members today. Of whom certainly I think maybe half could be employed or unemployed workers.
Yes. No, someone said that the Communist Party have got about 80% to 90% and therefore they are more worker-oriented. Mm-hmm. But
I don't know. I'm not in a position to make any comparison because I don't know the composition.
But it doesn't necessarily follow.
I can say about our party, about 44, and I think about half our workers, that is people who are employed in factories and workplaces, or who have been dismissed from them.
What led to the small split in 39 when the communists were expelled?
It was really a question of our attitude to the Third International. And the majority of the Central Committee decided that the Third International had betrayed the international movement. And we had a resolution, which was passed by a big majority to that effect. The communists opposed it, and then we expelled the communists from the party.
How many were expelled?
I from the Central Committee, I think there must have been about 9 or 10. Altogether, I suppose about 40 people were expelled.
Mm-hmm. It is... perhaps there's some significance that when the communists formed a party, they call it, the United Socialist Party. This would seem to indicate that they were not quite convinced of the communists there.
No, I should rather imagine that they considered it more advantageous.
A broader front.
To call it the Socialist Party.
And if I may... ask, I think it's a delicate ground, but what led to the split within the Samasamajis in 45?
Well, it is a very confused situation. Numbers of factors were there. But I personally believe that they were principally personal factors.
Mm-hmm. Is it correct to say that Philip was not very easy to get on with and wanted to dominate?
Well, that has always been the case. It's always the case. Even in 1950, when we got united again, he didn't come into the implication.
Mm-hmm. Was the personal clash between Doric and Philip instrumental in...
That was during the war years.
Over what?
I don't think there was any very specific issue or any question of that nature.
Just,
because at the time it was held to be that Doric was standing for Doric, and that position was that their position was that they stood for a more Bolshevik type organization. Mm-hmm. As these people wanted a broader type of organization, less discipline. Whereas the Philip section said that they represented the matter of the workers. These people were bourgeois, or I mean petty bourgeois intellectuals.
I really don't think there was much ideological.
Have you heard this history of the Lanka Samvatsari?
I bought it. Actually, I've got my background from that to some extent. What comments would you make on Esmond Wickramasinghe's role? I mean, he was known to be one of the Marxist leaders in the university, but then he has gravitated into the capitalist fold. Mm-hmm. How would you...
Well, he was in the party, mm-hmm. even in the war years. But I think his views changed towards the latter portion of the war. Mm-hmm. But he had the decency not to leave us until after the war. I think he felt the not right to leave us when we were in difficulty. So we waited 13 years, all right. And immediately after the war period, then the period of illegality was over, he approached us and told us his views had changed. He was leaving the party.
Mm-hmm. He was a member of the secret group.
Oh, yes. Part of the, a member of the secret organization.
Mm-hmm. And what was Vernon Gunasekara Sure?
He was secretary of the party before 1940.
Mm-hmm.
That's before it was illegalized. After it was illegalized, he dropped out of work, dropped out of activity.
Mm-hmm. And what was his contribution in the pre-war years?
Pamphlet hearing.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote pamphlets and leaflets.
The split in 45, wasn't it partly on the tactical question of joining the Indian group and continuing the anti-imperialist struggle there?
No.
It wasn't on that.
No.
Mm-hmm. And how about the strikes in the 40s? What do you think led to this upsurge?
Which strikes? After in the underground period or before?
After the underground period.
Well, after the underground period, there were no plantation strikes.
Yes, the Colombo.
No strikes in Colombo. Well, the rising cost of living and things like that led to many strikes in the city.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a general strike in which the all groups cooperated, and there was a central committee.
There were several general strikes. General strike in 46 and 47.
How was the cooperation at that stage between the three groups? Cooperation.
Well, the cooperation was in action. Certainly, the masses wanted that cooperation, and nobody was against that cooperation because it strengthened the common struggle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, many people got it. Especially the papers represented the strikes as political engineering, and as part
politically engineering.
Yes, they have been politically engineered.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering whether this was a fair criticism, because the newspapers of the time tended to be on the employer side.
Well, that's not a thing only at that time. Even now, there are people who continue to believe that leftist leaders and trade union leaders are in a position by, like the magicians of old, to wave the wand and the masters just obey them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their eyes shows their ignorance, complete ignorance of the real situation, or it is just mischief making on their fighting on their part.
But hasn't it been true of the history of the party that the Marxist groups have tried to win worker support by showing militancy, and therefore this means militantly advocating their grievances and leading strikes?
Well, it does mean leading strikes and encouraging strikes, helping strikes, where the strikes serve the purposes of the workers.
Mm-hmm.
But not in helping or encouraging strikes where those strikes are inimical to the interest of the workers.
I was wondering whether the picture had been taken to walk into the well, in the sense that sometimes you couldn't control them and wildcat strikes arose, and you had purpose to take leadership, otherwise you would lose support.
I suppose there may be circumstances like that where trade union leaders have to do that. Because after all, it's a question of the workers themselves, isn't it? It's not a question of what we think
mm-hmm.
the workers should do, but it's the democratic right of the workers to strike. What we can do is what we can advise them as to whether a strike in a particular situation, in our view, is advisable or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it is they who strike and not the and not the political parties.
Mm-hmm.
The political parties, of course, then take their attitude to the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on whether the end of the struggle are progressive. If the end of the struggle are not progressive, we wouldn't support it in any case. But if the end of the struggle were progressive, we would not cease to support the struggle merely because we thought that the time and opportunity was not quite suitable.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the people who are doing the struggle to decide.
Mm-hmm. So in that sense, on some occasions, the party was led by the trade union.
Oh, yes, surely. The party has supported struggles which has thought about from the material.
That's very interesting.
And we might thereby help the workers to retreat without too many losses, which you would not be otherwise be able to do. That applies not only to economic struggles, but to political struggles as well.
Haven't your trade union power been clipped to some extent by one other aspect of policy which you yourself have supported, namely nationalization? This automatically brings various groups into the category of public servants, and therefore under the, at least in theory, the restrictions imposed by law on public service trade unions.
No, I don't think so, because most workers like to become public servants, because the terms and conditions of public servants is generally superior to that of people in the private sector.
But then, doesn't that reduce their militancy and therefore their allegiance to the party, or the need for the party?
I don't know, because I should think that the political support for the Lanka Asam Panch Party is much stronger among the state employees than among the private employees, than in the private sector.
Stronger in the government sector?
Much stronger.
How effective have these laws against government unions having political affiliations been?
Very, very ineffective in practice. Mm. Very ineffective in practice.
I presume it's because the government doesn't want a first-class struggle on its hands.
Well, it's difficult to say what exactly the position is. But there's also the difficulty of the government to prove political connections and affiliations.
How far has the SLFP moved into the trade union field?
They did quite a lot in the period when they were the government.
Mm-hmm.
But when they ceased to be the government, their position has deteriorated very rapidly.
Did they move in largely through Ilangaratna because of his old...
No. They moved in through patronage, because there are many workers who felt that being in a government, being in a union that is sponsored by a government party was an advantage.
How about this language issue and its effect on the LSSP union support? After you changed your policy in 1665 and joined the SLFP, even in 60s.
Yeah.
Hasn't it led to the...
Not a language question, but it is true that our support of the SLFP after the period after 1960 has reduced our union support in the plantations, among the Tamil workers in the plantations, that is true.
Not among the Tamil workers in Colombo?
In Colombo, no. Not in Colombo.
I was thinking of the clerical...
I'm talking about the trade union support. Now you don't confuse trade union and political support.
Yes, trade union support.
We have not lost no trade union support, but mentioning it in Colombo.
Oh,
but certainly in the plantations.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a result of language policies, but as a result of our attitude to the SLFP government.
Mm-hmm. But speaking from the point of view of election, this loss of plantation support can't be crucial because most of them haven't got the vote anyway.
And also we never had really the direct political support from the Indian estate workers. Very little.
How about in 47 in some constituents?
If you had very badly in 47, the candidates who fought the in that period the estate labourers had votes. Indian estate labourers had
votes.
We contested most votes.
And CIC?
And we lost our deposits.
Mm-hmm. No, but where the CIC were not involved and where there were pockets of, you know, small pockets of Indian workers and where you were contesting the UNP, did the Indian workers...
Yeah, they voted for us. Yeah, they voted for us.
How can you be certain, if I may ask? I mean, it's difficult to judge how people vote.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not so difficult for the people on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe difficult for you and me who live in Colombo.
Yes,
but in the village, everybody knows how the people next door vote. They all know. And they all know, even in one family, which words go to the VNP and which words come to the LSP or SLSP or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Did the party ever discuss the question of, suppose you would call this tactics, but the question of working through the parliamentary democratic institutions,
right,
and the alternative of being a more revolutionary type of party? Did that come up as a issue in...
It has come up in various ways in our party, and it has been resolved.
In what
in the sense that there is no fundamental contradiction between utilizing whatever democratic rights, including parliamentary institutions, there are to the full, and the realization that the emancipation of the people